When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Thanks for joining us here on what was a pretty busy night in the NHL. You're kind of happy when you get a bunch of games because it just seems like COVID has really just taken those big, exciting nights away because you've got more postponements than you have games. I mean, I go back to Monday when the Rangers played the Kings and I was doing the pre and post and there was only two other games and there were three postponements. There were as many postponements as there were games, and there were postponements last night too, but just the one, the Hurricanes and the Flyers, that game postponed because Philadelphia is going through the COVID situation. But everybody else got a chance to play, and we saw some very interesting games. And I want to start with the Penguins. You know, they got so hot when we were on hiatus. And they've won 11 of their last 12. They had a 10-game winning streak in that span. Really, the only thing that's standing between them and a 12-game winning streak is blowing that two-goal lead against Dallas back on Saturday, where they gave up three unanswered goals late in the third period and lost to the Stars. Otherwise, they've gone right back to winning since then. Beat the Ducks in Anaheim 4-1, so even moving out west really hasn't slowed them down. But here's what makes Pittsburgh so very dangerous, is they got Evgeny Malkin back into the fold, and he jumped right back in with 2 feet, played his first game since May 8th of 2021, and he had two goals and an assist, looked fantastic. And he has talked about how the last time he missed a significant amount of time, he had his best year, because he's 35 years old now. And that time away from the rink was probably pretty healthy for him. And now he jumps right back into the fold. And now you've got a healthy Crosby. You have a healthy Malkin. You have a healthy Letang. And now this Pittsburgh Penguins team looks like they're going to be a handful here down the stretch of the season. As we speak right now, at 12:39 on January 11th on a Wednesday, they sit in the first wild card with 47 points. They are 2 points back of Washington for third place in the division with two games in hand. They're 3 points back of the Rangers with two games in hand. Now, they play two more games than Carolina. Carolina's got 50, but Pittsburgh is going to be a major handful for Washington and New York to be able to stay in that top three in the Metropolitan Division, not have to mess around with the wild card. Pittsburgh's goal differential at plus 26 is better than Washington's and better than the Rangers, which is always a pretty good indication of how good a team you are. They are just amazing right now and might be a team that, when it's all said and done, could be the team to beat. I've been waiting for this thing to fall apart on this team because of the injuries, because of how old they are. But let's give a lot of credit to Mike Sullivan, one of the best coaches in the NHL. Crosby still has it. And if Malkin's going to be this dangerous, and you still have Gensel, who is a really good player, and you still have a Rust, who's had a great season for them. I mean, there's just a lot of really very, very dangerous players on this Pittsburgh team. So that's something to keep an eye on. They'll continue their Western swing. They'll be taking on a Los Angeles Kings team that's been pesky. So we'll see. But right now, Malkin, healthy, his first two-goal game since March 10th of 2020. That's pre-pandemic. So they are a very, very scary team. Ducks, you know, they're going through their COVID issues and their injuries, and they've kind of slowed down just a bit too. So they've got some work to do to kind of hang on to their position. They're just 4-4-2 in their last 10. They now have Los Angeles has jumped into the fold in third place in the Pacific Division, but they're still pretty comfortably ahead of falling out of to the wild card, because Calgary has fallen back out of the wild card. So they're on the outside with 40, so they've got a 5-point cushion there. San Jose, we'll talk about them, back into the playoff mix with their victory. They've won three in a row, so things getting a little dicey for Anaheim. So we'll see how that works out for them. Speaking to the Sharks, a 3-2 overtime win over the Red Wings. Logan Couture gets the game winner. So as I mentioned, three in a row for San Jose. They now moved into that second wild card spot, 6-4 in their last 10. Equal 10 win home wins, 10 road wins. So they're kind of, I talked about this early in the regular season where I thought that their hot start was sustainable. I still believe that to be the case. But when you look at the struggles that Calgary and Edmonton have gone through, that San Jose, I think, still is a playoff team. Another great game last night between the Leafs and the Golden Knights in Vegas. Leafs win this game in the shootout 4-3. But the turning point where the Golden Knights were able to get a point, it's Petrangelo's power play goal with 11:48 into the third period, turned out to be a chance for Vegas to get the point. Now they have 48 points. They're not getting a lot of offense. They're still kind of waiting for Max Pacioretty, but they've been able to stay afloat despite that injury. The goaltending has been pretty good so far this season for them, and the Leafs get themselves a very important win as well, as they're trying to stay in that hunt for the Atlantic Division title. They've got 49 points now. They sit, as we speak, 4 points back of Florida for first place, but they do have 2 games in hand, and Toronto has been 6-2-2. They've been able to survive these postponements, empty buildings, all that. Hopefully that's going to change in the next couple of weeks. Maybe the game of the night was in Nashville. Battle for first place between the Predators and the Avalanche. Give the Nashville Predators their due. I don't think anybody expected them to flirt with first place this year, and they have. And the major reason why is UC Saros has just been absolutely stupendous for them. So they've gone from one great goaltender in Pekka Rene to be able to go now to UC Saros, so they haven't missed a beat goaltending-wise. Playing without Forsberg last night in COVID protocol, they get the win. Wild game. Goaltending was good despite the fact that 9 goals were scored in this game. What I found interesting, though, and it's captivating to watch Cale Makar right now. If somebody had asked me, you know, you're a Ranger fan, I'd take Fox over Makar. I think Dave Maloney, my partner with the radio games with the Rangers, I think put it best. You love the absolute physical skills of a Cale Makar, and you love the hockey smarts and the intuition that Fox brings. If you combine them together, you'd have the greatest defenseman in the history of the sport, but you can't do that. But Makar is really making people think about this generation's Bobby Orr. He's putting up numbers that amazing. 3 points last night, had the game-tying goal. Just him on that wing, you know, coming down is just so devastating. You know how good he is at the point. Then he can kind of swing down to those circles, and he just has an incredible shot. He can shoot from anywhere. Tremendous ability to change direction. He is just a captivating player to watch, and that's why the Avalanche were able to steal a point. They were down 4-3. He gets the game tire. Some controversy in this one in overtime. A 2-minute on the ice penalty for Colorado leads to the Duchesne goal and wins it for Nashville. So Nashville now a 3-point lead in the division. But here's the rub. Nashville's got 50 points. Colorado's in second with 47. But Colorado's got 4 games in hand on the Predators. When this is all said and done, Colorado is winning this division. But all the points Nashville can get to be a playoff team is going to be big. Colorado's goal differential is plus 34 to Nashville's plus 18. But Colorado, and I tweeted this out last night while watching the game, this is the closest you're going to get to seeing what it was like watching those mid-80s Edmonton teams. And this is not to disrespect all the firepower, especially with Pittsburgh we saw in the mid-teens and all that. But, you know, to see when they get a healthy Landeskog bag off of COVID protocol, when you see Rantanen play in the way he plays, when you see McKinnon play the way he plays, when Makar brings to the blue line, Girard is a very good defenseman as well. I mean, they are just stacked with so many talented players. They have size, they have speed. The only Achilles heel, and we talked about this Monday with EJ Raddick, do they have the goaltending to get them over the hump? We'll see. But right now, Colorado looks like the team to beat in what has just been a wild Central Division with the way Nashville has played, 8-1-1 in their last 10, 5 in a row. The way St. Louis has played, 7-2-1 in their last 10, 2 in a row. Those are 3 of the best teams in the NHL competing for the Central. So that's why you look at a Minnesota that's the second wild card is as good as anybody, but they are just trying to keep up with 3 of the best teams in the NHL. That's why things are just going to be so crazy, because that you look at that wild card, right? Because somebody in the Central is going to be a wild card team, whether it's going to be Nashville, Colorado, St. Louis, or Minnesota. One of those 4 teams is going to take a wild card spot, which then is just going to leave the one. And is it going to be Calgary? Is it going to be Edmonton? Is it going to be San Jose? Where does Winnipeg fall? Where does Dallas fall? You know, Dallas has got a minus goal differential. They've struggled as of late. But they are a team that can get hot all of a sudden and be in the mix. What's going to happen with Vancouver? They're an interesting story. They lost for the first time in regulation with Bruce Boudreau as the head coach. They lose in Florida to the Panthers 5-2. Reinhardt had 2 goals and 3 points on the night. And we'll get into the Panthers in just a second, but Vancouver still has been very good, 35 games played. So they haven't been really hit by COVID to the point where they've got a lot of games in hand. They do have 2 games in hand on San Jose as they sit right now, 6 points back of the Sharks for the wild card spot. But if Boudreau is going to turn things around for Vancouver, they can all of a sudden become a player. So when you look at the 5 teams that are on the outside looking into the West right now, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Dallas, Vancouver, all of them still can be very, very dangerous and still making the playoffs. As we mentioned, Florida gets the win. They continue to prove they're among the best in the league, 6-3-1 in their last 10, 2 in a row. They're tied with Tampa in points, but Tampa's played 2 more games. Tampa had the 6-1 win over the Sabres last night. What's scary about Tampa is Nikita Kucherov with the hat trick, so now he's healthy, so Tampa's going to be a beast. So Florida and Tampa are going to be a great story, who's going to end up winning this Atlantic Division, but both are definitely playoff teams, and I think Toronto is a playoff team as well, with a plus 30 goal differential, which means that, you know, where does Detroit fall? But there's not the same kind of feel in the East as there is in the West, as far as like teams on the outside making it, right? So you got Carolina, Rangers, Washington, the top three in the Metro. We told you the top three in the Atlantic. So Pittsburgh and Boston in the wild card, and now we get word that Tuukka Rask has signed a 1-year contract with Boston. That's huge for the Bruins here down the stretch to get themselves a veteran goaltender in the mix for a team that's already a playoff team to begin with 40 points. But there's that drop-off between Pittsburgh's 47 and Boston's 40. Now, Detroit's got 37 points, and that's where I draw the line. The only team right now that's on the outside looking in the East that I think has a chance to make the playoffs are the Islanders, who are way down in 7th place in the wild card with 26 points, but they've only played 28 games. All right. So they've got 4 games in hand on Boston. They've got 5 games in hand on Pittsburgh. The problem with the Islanders is they've got so much ground to make up. With just 26 points, they're 14 points out of a playoff spot. So even with the 4 games in hand, that's only 8 points. So they're still going to have to do a lot of work. But because of who's on the team, how they're led, I'm still going to give the Islanders a chance. Detroit's still young, but they're only 3 points back. The problem with Detroit is they played the most games in the conference outside of Tampa. They played 37 games. So you can make the case that none of these teams on the outside looking in are going to make it. They're all with a massive minus goal differential. The only reason I'll look at the Islanders is because of what they've gone through and the amount of games they still have to play. So I'm not going to pronounce the Islanders dead. Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, forget about them. New Jersey, just not their year. They're playing better. They're just not good enough to make up this ground. Philadelphia is a mess. Columbus is improved, but I just don't think good enough. You know, so you've got all these teams in the West that are going to make just for a wild ride at the end of the season. All those teams with a chance to make the playoffs. And I'm not sure really any of these teams outside the Islanders have a chance. And even the Islanders, I'm kind of going on reputation, my respect for Lou possibly making a deal, my respect for Barry Trotz and the number of games and how good they've been the last couple of years. But still, it's going to take take some very heavy lifting down the stretch to be able to make that happen. But still, just how different the West and the East are, it's kind of crazy. So let's dive into your tweets at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. So let's get started here with Guido, who says Rangers' position is in trouble. I don't disagree. You know, the Rangers are kind of a strange bird in the sense that there are times where you're like, oh, I just love this team. I love where they're headed. They sweep the home and home against Tampa. And then you get the feeling like, oh, you lose to Vegas. You lose to the Kings. They've lost both games to Colorado. They lost both games to Calgary. Like, there are times you feel great about them. There's times you don't feel as great. But overall, they're a playoff team. The question is, can they hang on to that 3 spot? Because as much as the Rangers have struggled at times, Washington's kind of in free fall right now. Washington not playing great either. They've given up a ton of goals recently. So Pittsburgh, to me, the way they're playing, I think they're going to be in the top three. Is it going to replace the Rangers? Is it going to replace Washington? I think Carolina is in good shape. But the Rangers are still going to be a playoff team. But if you're saying their position's in trouble as far as falling out of the top three, I completely agree with you. David's got the same kind of feel. Who do you see finishing the top three in the Metro? Can the Rangers hold on? I think the Rangers can. Remember, the Rangers have four games to make up as well. Let's see, you know, how the schedule kind of, you know, changes here, because you got 3 weeks of games to make up in February. So once we get through January, it's going to be interesting. Like, what's the workload? How many times are they going to be play back-to-back? How many times are they going to play three games in four nights and all that? But I think Carolina is winning the division. I will say it will end up being Washington, Pittsburgh, and I think the Rangers will settle for a wild card. The reason I say that is because that's kind of where I had the Rangers all year. So I'm going to kind of stick to that prediction, but I think the way Pittsburgh's playing right now, and with Malkin coming back and being healthy, barring injury, and of course COVID throws a wrench into everything, I get it, but I'd have to say that that's probably how the top three is going to go. Tony says, what is the wildest thing you've seen in a hockey game as a fan or broadcaster? Probably doesn't get crazier than that conference final as a fan in 88 between the Devils and the Bruins, when they had the replacement officials. If you remember, with Eat Another Donut to Don Kolharski, and then you saw the replacement officials have to go in because of the suspension, and then the Lou getting going to the court to get an injunction. It was crazy, crazy stuff. And just to see officials with yellow raincoats on, so they didn't look like Bruins or the Rangers, and it was just so sad that it went on. And probably the biggest thing that made it so sad is that Ziegler was the president of the league. He wasn't considered commissioner. They didn't make it commissioner until I think Gary Bettman came in. Gil Stein did it for a year, and then Bettman came in. But he was on vacation. I mean, what president or commissioner of a league goes on vacation for their conference final? There's only two games that are going to get played, not on the same night. There's only four teams left playing to decide who's going to go to the conference final, to the Stanley Cup final, and you're on vacation, like, in Europe, and he wasn't around to be able to make a decision. It was just one of the craziest things that I've ever been involved in as a fan. You know, I've seen some wacky stuff, you know, calling games and injuries and different things, but nothing at the level that happened in Florida last night. But Jim Schoenfeld, Eat Another Donut, him getting suspended, then the injunction and the officials boycotting was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen on the hockey rink, and that came as a fan way back in 1988. Yankee Penguin says, hi Don, I know that the first TV timeout usually comes with under 14 minutes left in a period, but how do TV timeouts work for the rest of the period? Ah, great question. 14, 10, and 6 is the way that it goes. So the first stoppage after 6 minutes of play, the first whistle, unless it's a goal or it's during a man advantage, they go to commercial. And the first break in 10 minutes in, and the first break 14 minutes in, is the way that it's supposed to go. Now, there's a little bit of rubs here that sometimes catch even me when I'm calling a game. There is no commercial break after an icing. The league determined that a few years ago, because why give a team that iced the puck the advantage of a rest to go into commercial? Also, they will not go into commercial in what's considered kind of like a give-up play, meaning if you, let's say you dump the puck to the goaltender from center ice and he gloves it down, they will sometimes not go to commercial for that, like you're like trying to intentionally get a stoppage. So that happened. That's what fools you sometimes, because especially now, sometimes when I'm calling games outside of the arena off the monitor, you're not sure how it's judged by the officials, but that's how the timeouts work. Fabio says, thoughts on the Kodak Black incident at the Panther game? The people deserve to know Don's opinion and his take on this. Again, I just think it's just classless and stupid. I'm not a hip-hop fan. I'm not going to get into the whole get off my lawn. It's just stupid. It really just stupid. All right. I don't know anything about the guy. I'm not a fan of his music. I've never heard his music that I'm even aware of. I mean, Peter Rosenberg would probably have a better opinion. Listen to ENN tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern on the Michael Kay Show. I'm sure this is going to come up in conversation, but come on. I mean, you're in public. Forget about like disrespecting hockey. Just listen, you wouldn't want to see that in a mall. You wouldn't want to see that in any public place. So I know it was in the suite, and maybe there's a lot of people that didn't see it, but it's just stupid. You know, really, if you've got to do that to get attention, I mean, how good can your music be? I know he's got like 3 million followers on Twitter. I sound like an old man. I sound like a rock and roll fan disrespecting his music or whatever, but still, it's just a silly way to go about business, and I just think it's really just stupid that you got to do that for attention. But maybe he was just, you know, wanted to get tweaked and didn't, you know, just got caught up in the moment. I don't know. Twerk. See, I don't even know what it is. A twerk. See, that's why I shouldn't even be talking about this. Anthony had to tell me that I'm even mispronouncing what she was doing wrong. I think that's a great place to kind of end that conversation and the podcast. Kind of look at the schedule tonight. It's weird to see Boston Montreal postponed and yet still playing. The reason the postponement is because this game was originally scheduled to be played in Montreal, but because of the attendance situation, the NHL has moved that game to Boston. So the TNT game tonight, 7 o'clock, Canadians and Bruins from Boston will be one of the games tonight. At 8:30, Seattle will be at Dallas, and we talked about Dallas maybe being one of those teams, and you know, Seattle having a rough start to their first season. Got to get 2 points if you're Dallas. Toronto, second of back-to-backs after their victory in Vegas. They'll be in Arizona to take on the Coyotes. So Toronto with a chance to get some multiple points here in the game between Minnesota and Edmonton, postponed because, again, of COVID protocol. So we do have a few games and some good ones, too. Boston, Montreal, it's an original six matchup, but the Canadians are a mess, so Boston should be able to win that. Dallas the same, and Toronto the same as well, as you got some lopsided games here tonight. Matter of fact, here's what I would do just for if I wanted to throw out an ice pick here. Again, I don't have any of the odds in front of me, but clearly Boston, Dallas, and Toronto would all be favorites. See if you could parlay all three to win. I'm sure you'll be able to get a pretty decent number on that, of getting Boston, Dallas, and Toronto all to win. The rub certainly would be Toronto playing the second of back-to-backs, but it's Arizona. They've been playing a little bit better, but I think Toronto should get the win. So if you're looking for an ice pick, I'll throw that out. Kind of make up for the conversation we just had 5 minutes ago. See if you can kind of parlay Boston, Dallas, and Toronto. Matter of fact, I might do that as well. Throw some money at the issue. That's the way to do it, right? Throw money at the problem. All right, we're going to be back on Friday, and we'll do our first in a long time rankings, top five of the week. We haven't done it here in 2022, and we haven't done it probably for a couple of months. So let's dive into that. Looking forward to that coming up on Friday. Want to get in touch with me? The best way to always do that is via Twitter, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. So enjoy the games tonight. Thursday, we're a little busier. Fingers crossed with the Devils' COVID situation that the Islanders will finally get a chance to play for the first time since dinosaurs walked the earth. They'll be home against the Devils for a 7:30 start tomorrow. Hopefully, the Devils' COVID situation's okay. I think it will be, because their game was postponed against Tampa on Monday, but hopefully they get a few players back between now and then so where they can play the game on Thursday. And we've got a few other games as well, including the Rangers and the Sharks. The last time the Rangers will play a game after 8 o'clock face-off, because they're pretty much done with the West, the Western swing after the game on Thursday against San Jose. I'll be doing the pre and post for that. So, and then I'm calling, hopefully, if the COVID situation's okay, the Rangers and Flyers on Saturday from Philadelphia. So we'll talk to you again on Friday. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.